FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is November 10, 20. Well, election's still up in the air. So is the economy. So is the stock market, literally up in the air, going high and going higher. A little bit of divergence today, but no doubt that's to be expected. We've seen such a dramatic rally over the past week. It's almost shocking. And who better to talk about it than our good friend Jim Welsh of Macro Tides. And Jim, it's great to have you back on the show.
Always good to talk with you, Kerry.
Hey, so what about this stock market here? I mean, the Dow is getting it's a hair's breadth away from 30,000 again. The S&P over 3,500. The NASDAQ has been kind of the loser over the past few days.
Yeah. Well, a week ago in my November 2nd Macro Tides, I went out on a limb, Kerry, and I thought that Biden would win the presidency and the Republicans would retain the Senate, primarily because there was a Gallup survey in September that showed when people were asked, are you better off now than 4 years ago? 56% of them said, yeah, I am. And that compared to for Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr., Ronald Reagan in the mid-80s, you know, they were centered around the mid 40% approval rating. And I always have believed people vote with their pocketbook. And we know from various studies that people have been reluctant to proclaim that they were going to be voting for Trump. And so I just felt that that stuff implied that the Senate would be held by the Republicans, but that, you know, Biden would win. Now, my conclusion was that the market had rallied, as you may recall, a couple of weeks ago in anticipation of a blue wave, because it was going to mean a lot of spending, you know, maybe the $3 trillion that the House had passed in May relative to the $1 trillion that the Republicans had favored. So my assumption was that if we saw that outcome, we were likely to see the market back off in terms of disappointment. So I'm one of the few guys who maybe got the election right, but the markets really, you know, changed the outlook. And supposedly the reason was, oh, we're not going to get Biden's tax increases. But the flip side of that is that we're not going to see the stimulus that was coming. And I think that's one of the key points over the next few weeks is whether or not Congress will be able to get together to at least do a targeted stimulus plan to provide more unemployment benefits for the next few months. For those who are unemployed and funds for a lot of small businesses, especially restaurants, with the weather getting cold, you and I don't have to worry about it. You're in Florida, I'm in Southern California, but you know, a lot of restaurants north of the Mason-Dixon line, they can't have people outside. So I think that's one of the challenges and answers that we need to see in order for the market to continue to do well, is whether or not Congress responds to those needs in the next few weeks.
All right. Well, that is interesting. But look, you know, Congress, nobody ever didn't get elected to Congress or reelected because they gave too much money away, right?
That's true. But we have an ideological split here. And there's, you know, emotions are high. And I think one of the interesting things, you know, I'm of the view that the Federal Reserve has already crossed the Maginot line in terms of where monetary policy is not supposed to venture. And when we look at the unfunded liabilities facing the federal government over the next few decades and the funding challenge over the next decade in terms of Medicare running out of money in 2026, Social Security running out of money by about 2030. I just think what's going to happen is, irrespective of party, and we did see this under Trump, you know, where deficits were killing 4% of GDP, that we're going to see spending continue to go. The Fed's going to buy the paper and remit the interest back to the treasury. So it's almost like free funding for the government. I just don't think there's the political will, Kerry, in the country at this point in time to ever step back from government spending. It's just going to be a question of how much. So I think there'll be talk about it. The Republicans, certainly, if they hold the Senate, will talk about it. But I just don't believe there's the political will to follow through and truly lower government spending. The only thing that might happen is the rate of increase will slow. But that's not, it's not going to slow enough from a standpoint that government spending is going to continue to grow at a faster rate than GDP. And as long as that happens, you know, the debt to GDP ratio is going to continue to increase. And I just think that's a really high probability outcome.
So precious metals, commodities, we going to see commodity price inflation here?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. At just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation. And the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
I think so. Again, in the very short term, I think we're going to see a spike of infections. People had parties on Halloween, kids come home from college for Thanksgiving, families getting together for Thanksgiving. I think there's the potential that cases can jump over 200,000. Hospitalizations are going to stress a lot of, medical facility capacity. And then we're going to see in some locations, maybe not a complete lockdown, but I think we're going to see more restrictions, and that's going to weigh on the economy. So what's interesting, Kerry, if you look at the positioning in the 30-year treasury, commercials are as long as they were in November of 2018. Large specs are as short as they were in November 2018, which was followed by a huge rally in the bond market. So positioning would imply that there's a potential for treasury yields to come down over the next 4 to 6 weeks. If I'm right about a spike in cases and hospitalizations, that will provide the perfect backdrop. But as we get into next year and the vaccine does its wonder, again, what we saw is the government sent out a lot of money in the springtime. Savings rate went up a lot. Consumers used the money they received to lower their credit card bills by over $100 billion. So the wherewithal, once we get kind of the all clear that the vaccine's being distributed, we've got it under control, I think the economy is going to have a really strong rebound. And yes, I think that's going to lead to a pickup in inflation. We're already seeing, if you look at the grains, have rallied very significantly. And so in the short run, if I'm right, I think the precious metals can sell off. I think gold could drop to 1800. But I think once all this plays out, we'll see gold rally to new all-time highs in the first half of next year. So any dip from here, I think, is a buying opportunity in terms of the precious metals for better times to come next year. And in terms of the Fed, they're going to be in a tough spot because I know they've said, oh, no, we're going to tolerate inflation over 2%. Fine. But at some point in time, the bond market is not going to be the Fed told us they're going to keep rates low forever. No, if inflation starts to curl up, I think we still will see rates up. So we've seen the 10-year go from 40 basis points to 1%. I think in the next few weeks, it could drop to 70 to 75 basis points. And then my guesstimate is that next year in the first half, we'll see the 10-year at 125 to 135. And at some point in time, as that progresses next year, that's going to put a some weight on PE ratios. So my thought here is we're going to rally to new all-time highs in the first half of next year. And then ultimately, I think higher yields are going to, you know, take their toll on the stock market. So in the meantime, you know, buy the dips, lean toward the cyclical stocks, because I think they're the ones that are under-owned. And I would reduce exposure to the mega cap stocks, which have done so well because they are over-owned. So I think we will see this rotation play out after maybe about a weakness in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And interestingly enough, past couple of days, we saw financials really join the party here.
Yep.
While we saw the Amazonian sector kind of back off.
And
that was something we all kind of been waiting for, because that in itself could be a telltale indication of inflation to come, right?
It is, because over the last 6 months, banks have been increasing lending standards. In other words, they're making less loans. The yield curve has obviously been really, really narrow. But if these things play out as expected, banks are going to shift from tightening lending standards to easing lending standards, which means they're going to lend more. If the long-term rates go up, as I think they will, the yield curve is going to expand. And if the economy kicks in, the demand for lending is going to also increase. So the other issue is that, yeah, if rates go higher, the banks are one of the few sectors that actually get some benefit from higher interest rates, as opposed to high PE ratio stocks. Higher interest rates should, in all probability, squeeze the high PE ratios and, you know, cause them to drop by 10, 20, maybe even 30%. So that's another reason why avoiding those high PE ratio stocks, I think, makes sense in the kind of environment we're going in. And if the market does back off because of infections in the next week or two, I think you want to buy things like the financials on weakness. And the other sector would be industrials, because they're the most directly sensitive, if you will, to what the economy is doing.
All right. Well, I think we got some interesting times ahead of us. The concept of the stock market making new highs, as well as precious metals, they've been marching in lockstep recently. When the market goes down, generally gold goes down. Yesterday was kind of the exception, where you had that humongous rise in the stock market, and then you had a huge slam on gold, nearly $100 an ounce. But that's really been the exception. It's going to be interesting to see how gold repairs that technical damage for its next leg up. Seasonality is certainly in favor of gold. We know that Indian wedding season and Chinese New Year, all of that good stuff that generally
coming around the corner.
It's right here.
My call in terms of gold dropping down towards 1800 is really more based on the technical pattern. Carry gold drop from 2070 to about 1849. So it was about a $210 rebound, and it was a three-wave decline. It then rebounded in three waves to the high we saw the last night, actually, or overnight on Sunday night, to 1965. So my thought here is that you had an ABC down, ABC up for a wave B, and saw yesterday wave one of C. Today's bounce and may continue for another day or so as wave two. And if the wave A and C are equal, $200 from 1965, that's how you get down to 1765. But once that is done, it will have completed the correction from 2070 and opened the door then for a rally to new all-time highs. So that's where I'm getting those, if you will, the price objective. And again, I think it's just driven potentially if indeed we see a spike in cases and some additional lockdown effects. And the dollar positioning, the last thing I'll mention is the dollar positioning, in other words, people are really long other currencies and theoretically then short the dollar. The dollar is more oversold going back to last 12 years. If you look at it as a percent above and below its trend for the last 12 years, it's 6% below the trend. The last few times that's happened in 2014, February 2018, the dollar rallied. So I think there's the potential that in the next few weeks, you may see a rebound in the dollar that ties all this stuff up together. So as you said, this is an interesting time. We're going to see a lot of movement in a lot of markets.
All right. Well, hey, Jim, as always, it's been a pleasure. Can you just tell us where we find out more about you and connect with you on the web?
Yeah, great. Macrotides.com. You'll be able to check out some historical information in terms of the weekly technical review, which goes out every single Monday afternoon. And then the monthly issue of Macrotides, which looks at the bigger picture more from a fundamental standpoint.
All right. Well, you'll find a link in the show notes to this interview to check it out. And hey, send us your comments. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are, where the market's heading. Do you agree that gold and the indices are marching towards record highs? We'd love to hear from you, kl@carrylutz.com. Make sure you check out the website, get your free weekly newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Jim, we will talk to you again real soon.
All right, thanks, Kerry, so much, and stay healthy.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.